It's all quiet in the underground bunker. Doors closed, locks bolted. But the Great One isn't just resting on his laurels. He's making sure your weekend is even better by giving you his best. This is the best of Mark Levin.
It's amazing. Joe Biden's at war with the American people, and he's at war with the Israeli people. You know, I posted something from memory. Welcome, America. MEMRI.org. An imam in Michigan was calling for the slaughter of the Jews. And an imam in Michigan. There are many imams in Michigan who call for the slaughter of Jews. Many of them are in Dearborn, Michigan, but not exclusively. There are many imams all over the country, especially in California, who call for the slaughter of the Jews. Now, this should not be commonplace, because these same imams call for the overthrow of the United States government. They call for Islamist revolution in the United States. How did these people get here? Don't we even have any basic norms when it comes to immigration? And when you listen to them and when you read fantastic sites like Memory, they're speaking broken English. They're not they're here first generation. We have no standards anymore? And the group CARE can operate freely? Nobody's bringing lawsuits against them to try and bankrupt them like they are against other groups, the Federalist Society, National Rifle Association, the list is a long one. And of course, the media cover it up. I spent this weekend on Life, Liberty, and Levin, Saturday and Sunday, going through the totalitarianism that is the Democrat Party. A real twofer when it comes to coups, trying to imprison Donald Trump so Joe Biden doesn't have to run against anybody but third party. And of course, the coup in Israel. The Democrat Party is totalitarian. That's what it is. It's totalitarian. Trump is in Dayton, Ohio, Saturday, as you well know. And he's talking to auto workers and others. And he's talking about how there's going to be a bloodbath in the auto industry, because the communist Chinese are sending in, that is, pushing for vehicles, their vehicles, trying to get them through under the names of other countries. And here's what he says. Cut one, go.
They want to do this all electric nonsense where the cars don't go far, they cost too much, and they're all made in China. And the head of the United Auto Workers never probably shook hands with a Republican before. They're destroying. You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine, all he does is build car manufacturing plants. He's the biggest in the world.
Okay, you get the drift. So the Democrats are desperate to create the scenario that not only was January 6th an insurrection led by Trump, which is a lie told over and again and over and again, not only that Donald Trump is Hitler, Mussolini, and Stalin combined, not only will he imprison his political opponents, and of course he didn't imprison his political opponents, that's Joe Biden, but that he's calling for a bloodbath. Now this went on for about an hour and a half until people said, wait a minute, Elon Musk, others said, what are you talking about? This is so ridiculous. Here's a montage of the media, hat tip Grabian, and what they tried to pull. Cut to go.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC.
Headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies
as part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath. They're shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats,
a bloodbath at the ballot box.
There could be a Republican bloodbath.
They'll talk about a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath. I have to talk about you.
It's going to be a bloodbath all day long.
Is in for a bloodbath.
Hasn't been a bloodbath on the way down.
Donald Trump bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath.
Predicted to be a bloodbath. May not be the bloodbath.
It would be a bloodbath.
More of a bloodbath.
It's going to be a bloodbath in November.
Possible Biden bloodbath. This November,
the bloodbath on Wall Street.
There's going to be a bloodbath
in Alabama into a bloodbath.
Obviously, there was a bloodbath.
It was a bloodbath. We're down 800 points.
This bloodbath at Department of Homeland Security.
And it's a bloodbath today.
There was going to be this bloodbath.
Election bloodbath.
It could be a bloodbath for them.
Bloodbath, possibly.
Bloodbath that went through with the attorney general.
Bloodbath 99 days out.
The bloodbath is going to look like.
Presided over a bloodbath in the diplomatic corps.
Absolute, in my opinion, bloodbath the Democrats
are calling it. A ticket sales turned into a bloodbath.
Ticket sales for singer Taylor Swift's latest tour.
It's safe to
all right,
say.
That's enough. It goes on and on and on. Media using the term bloodbath. Donald Trump uses it in a perfectly legitimate context, and then they lie. One after another. News organization. I counted 12. But there were many more. It's like the Charlottesville riot that took place, the protest there. But they kept twisting what Donald Trump said. He didn't say what they said he said. And right from this microphone, I played it for you. I read it again, the text, the actual text. He didn't say what they said it said. And in a minor footnote, it reminds me of my own situation when it came to Wolf Blitzer, Mr. Producer. Remember that one? Did he say, there, or they? Oh, Marx, an anti... I tell you, folks, this is how it works. This is a sick party with a sick one-party media. I want to read something to you. And by the way, they picked all that up from the Trump campaign that put it out. Biden principal deputy campaign manager, Quinton Fulks. Careful how you say that. He put it out. Pelosi put it out yesterday, and so they conga line. They walk behind him. Michael Beschloss, a complete fraud. Michael Tyler, the Biden campaign communications director. They're all out there pushing it. And, of course, Bill Cassidy on Meet the Press, who's a nut, an absolute nut, and a Republican. Well, that's why they have him on Meet the Press, because he's a nut and a Republican. I'm going to take a little early break, and we're going to go through this, what you see. The Democrat Party trying to take Trump off the ballot. The Democrat Party twisting the Constitution into knots. The Democrat Party trying to put Trump in prison to clear the field for Biden. Biden trying to impose a coup on the leadership in Israel to install a government that he wants. Biden supporting imams and others who are talking about the elimination of Jews. He doesn't say a single thing. A single thing. If anybody got up at the pulpit and said the same thing about any race, except the white race, any race, we'd have headlines everywhere. I put it on my social media sites. Together, what do we have? About 5 million, all the sites combined, Mr. Producer? Something like that. A little over 5 million. I put it out. It's not like it's not available. I talk about it on the show, 14.5 million listeners on all platforms and formats. So it's not a secret. Now, if I say something they don't like, it'll be all over the place. But I'm telling them what these imams said and what these imams are saying, and there's crickets. So they must agree with them. In 2017, Freedom House, which was founded in 1941, and is a center-left organization, but nonetheless, they do a lot of good work, released a substantial report on modern authoritarianism, and they focused primarily, not exclusively, but on communist China and fascistic Russia. And although focused mostly on them, I believe, as I read through the report, many significant respects, as I pointed out in the Democrat Party Hates America, the document reflects what is occurring in the United States at the command of the Democrat Party and the implementation of its extra-constitutional economic and political schemes. Since 2017, the situation in the United States has become significantly worse and even dire. So when I apply the report in part, many of the Democrat Party's aims and actions to the Freedom House analysis on China and Russia, the similarities are daunting. They're stunning. As a general matter, Freedom House declared that the 21st century has been marked by a resurgence of authoritarian rule that has proved resilient despite economic fragility and occasional popular resistance. Modern authoritarianism has succeeded, they said, where previous totalitarian systems failed, due to refined and nuanced strategies of repression, the exploitation of open societies, and the spread of illiberal policies in democratic countries themselves. I want you to think of the Democrats, Biden, and what's happening in our country as I go through this with you. So the leaders of today's authoritarian systems devote full-time attention to the challenge of crippling the opposition, they write, without annihilating it, and flouting the rule of law while maintaining a plausible veneer of order, legitimacy, and prosperity. Now, if that doesn't define what's going on in this country, nothing does. And I point out, frankly, I can think of no better description of the Democrat Party and Democrat Party rule. The Democrat Party seeks to eliminate the Senate filibuster rule in order to pass legislation that will fundamentally alter innumerable aspects of our culture and society. Add four more Democrat senators to the Senate to prevent the Republican Party from ever winning a majority in the Senate. Add justices to the Supreme Court in order to control the ideological makeup of the court for decades to come and change the rules, processes, and outcomes of the popular vote throughout the nation to make it impossible for the Republican Party to win the presidency and majorities in Congress. The goal is to cripple the opposition, the Republican Party, without annihilating it, as the report says, and empower the Democrat Party into the distant future. And, of course, the Democrat Party's use of the Department of Justice, FBI, IRS, and so forth against political opponents is the stuff of police state autocracies. And since then, the effort to boot Trump from the ballot and all these other things. So this report goes on. They say central to the modern authoritarian strategy is the capture of institutions that undergird political pluralism. The goal is to dominate not only the executive and legislative branches, but also the media, the judiciary, the civil society, the commanding heights of the economy, and the security forces, federal law enforcement, in our case, the so-called Justice Department. And they claim to be talking about Russia and communist China. And I say, indeed, the Democrat Party pulled this off in California, which was once a reliably Republican state in presidential elections. California was the biggest barrier to Democrat Party winning the presidency. Republicans won the state in nearly every presidential election between 1952 and 1988, except for 1964. In large part, the Democrat Party succeeded in changing the state's immigration system, voting system, and redistricting system. The Democrat Party now has supermajorities in the California legislature. Administrative agencies, departments, and commissions are populated with radicals loyal to the party, as is the judiciary in California. The Democrat Party-aligned teachers' unions have de facto control over the school system and classrooms. Pulled it off. Now, the report description the modern authoritarian strategy, however, is increasingly present and visible not just in California, but in our whole country. The modern-day American media are effectively an appendage of and mouthpiece for the Democrat Party and its agenda. The public school system are ruled by Democrat Party-aligned teachers unions. The tenured college and university professors are overwhelmingly members of the Democrat Party and ideological propagandists for its agenda. This is what I'm writing. Billionaire George Soros is among several oligarchs who spend widely to support the Democrat Party and their radical causes. The Biden administration's all of government indoctrination by imposing critical race theory and the use of woke brainwashing throughout the federal bureaucracy. The regulatory imposition by federal entities on the SEC for ESG and DEI and all the rest of it, and they go on. This is totalitarian indoctrination, Democrat Party style. And that's why you see the kind of reporting you see.
Mark Levin.
In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
Making your weekend even better. This is the best of Mark Levin.
Man, oh, man, Shevitz. A lot going on, and we'll tackle all of it. First things first. Former general, I should say retired general Mark Milley, retired general Kenneth McKenzie, both at a hearing today, testifying about the surrender at the end of the Afghanistan debacle. And they pointed the finger directly at Biden and Blinken for making decisions contrary to what the Pentagon recommended. This is the same Biden and Blinken that are trying to destroy Israel Netanyahu's ability to defeat Hamas. These are insane, incompetent, stubborn individuals who are getting people killed. So first, I want you to listen to two clips, and then I want to give you some additional information. Here is Milley at the hearing on the withdrawal. How many Americans have been left behind in Afghanistan? How many Americans? Biden's so concerned about Hamas and the Gazans. How many Americans were left behind in Afghanistan? Cut 19, go.
But how many Americans are left behind? How many of our allies? And what has happened to them? Have they been beaten, killed, tortured? And secondly, about all the weapons that were left behind, there are reports that some of it has found its way to Hamas. I don't know if that's true. I know you did everything you could on the way out to destroy them, but many were intact and left in the hands of the Taliban.
I can't speak to the phone call. I don't have any personal knowledge of that. Number of Americans. This was always an issue. The number of Americans, as General McKenzie said, an F-77 report is supposed to, every ambassador in every country of the world keeps an F-77 report, and they're supposed to track the Americans, where they're at, the phone numbers, address, et cetera, in the country. That was always a difficult number for us in the Department of Defense to get a hold of, and I think it's true at the tactical level and operational level as well. And I'll be candid. I don't know the exact number of Americans that were left behind because the starting number was never clear. Same is true of at-risk Afghans, SIVs, the commandos, other Afghans that serve with us. Those numbers varied so widely that they were quite inaccurate, as best I could tell at the time. So I would just say I'm not sure, even today, about the accuracy of all those numbers.
You know, this should turn your stomachs, every single one of us. The Department of State is supposed to know through its ambassador, but other instrumentalities, how many Americans are in this place or that place. That's why you have passports. That's why we have airlines keeping information. That's why we have all kinds of ways of knowing at least a good number and their names. The level of incompetence of this administration and the level of ideologically driven policy decisions and the level of shoot from the hip Joe Biden decisions is disgusting, and it costs lives, American lives. How many Americans were there? We don't know. We don't even know what we don't know. Can't even get a decent number. And you know what they did to them. You know they brutalized them. The Islamists' debauchery, they believe, is ordered by Allah himself. I've heard imams say this on memory. The gruesomeness, the sadistic type of attacks. How many of our people were left behind? We don't know. Joe Biden never talks about it. Blinken never talks about it. All they ever talk about are the Gazan citizens. They don't talk about the Israeli citizens. They don't talk about the Israeli IDF. They don't talk about the American soldiers in Afghanistan, American soldiers who lost their lives. They don't talk about any of it. Ever. Ever. And you bastards at MSNBC and CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post, all the rest of you, give them cover. Give them cover. Nobody holds this administration to account. Nobody. Nobody. Then there's General Kenneth McKenzie, former CENTCOM commander. What about the withdrawal, a.k.a. surrender in Afghanistan? What do you make of that, General? Cut 20, go.
I'd like to talk a little bit now about Abbey Gate. It was a tragic event. One of many that have occurred over our 20-year engagement in Afghanistan. It remains my opinion that if there is culpability in this attack, it lies in policy decisions that created the environment of August 2021 in Kabul. Culpability and responsibility do not lie with the troops on the ground, who perform magnificently. It does not lie with the platoon, company, or battalion commanders, or the flag officers who oversaw operations on the ground in Kabul. The simple fact is this. On the battlefield, even with good planning, tremendous execution by brave people on the ground, the enemy sometimes has success. To ignore this fact is to ignore the fundamental reality of the battlefield. If there's fault, it lies in a policy decision that placed the joint force in this situation and exposed the force over time to the possibility of these kinds of attacks. We did not rely on the Taliban for our security. We used them as one tool among many to beef up our defensive posture. We avoided a number of potential Abbey Gate attacks, and I'm proud of the commanders and troops who prevented them. This is small comfort to those who lost loved ones, and I realize this. Nonetheless, what's remarkable about Kabul is not that the tragedy of Abbey Gate happened, but that many other attacks did not happen.
Okay, let me read to you from the New York Post. Two former top military commanders told lawmakers today that President Biden ordered the chaotic and deadly U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan in 2021, despite warnings that it would precipitate the collapse of the Western-backed government in Kabul and then waited too long to initiate the evacuation mission. I want you to keep that in mind while they're threatening Netanyahu and demanding that he not destroy the Hamas battalions that are left, demanding a ceasefire, demanding he's been summoned to the White House for a come-to-Jesus moment. And we now know what that means is either you come with bended knee, on bended knee, or we are going to slash the armaments that you get. And you must surrender Judea and Samaria to the Palestinian terrorists. Can you imagine the insanity? And it's not the first time. What these former generals, what these retired generals are saying is, We did not recommend these decisions. They came from the policy elements. It came from the White House, the National Security Council. They came from the State Department. That is, it came from Biden. It came from Sullivan. It came from Blinken, the Three Stooges. They don't know how many Americans were left behind. Do they even talk about the American hostages that Hamas is holding while they give them hundreds of millions of dollars? And I have to hear people say, oh, Joe Biden, he's so fantastic. Are you kidding me? Retired Army General Mark Milley, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs, former Marine General Kenneth McKenzie, ex-leader of the U.S. Central Command, appeared before the House Foreign Relations Committee in a bid to shed new light on the tragic pullout which both men oversaw. Milley and McKenzie have testified multiple times before Congress about the withdrawal. Tuesday's voluntary appearances marked the first time they had done so since their retirements. In other words, now they can actually speak, leading lawmakers to believe they would speak more freely about what happened in the days and weeks before the calamity. Quote, my personal analysis was that an accelerated withdrawal would likely lead to the general collapse of the Afghan security forces, which it did, and the Afghan government, which it did, resulting in a large-scale civil war reminiscent of the 1990s or a complete Taliban takeover, and that's what they got. However, the retired general added, Biden overruled his advice. Biden overruled his advice to keep several hundred troops in Afghanistan, claiming he was sticking to a plan set in motion by his predecessor, Donald Trump. Yet again, Donald Trump was right. Yet again, they try and trash Donald Trump. Yet again, Biden is the world's arsonist, burning things down, burning things up. The advice was, leave some troops behind. Don't do this in such a desperate way. The government will collapse. The army, out of fear, will collapse. Exactly what happened. Trump has said over and over again, my plan did not permit it to happen this way. And he's been lied about by the same media bastards that lie all the time. Milley added that he was not also, was also not in favor of a unilateral withdrawal of U.S. forces. He said, because of my assessment of the associated costs and risks, and doing so without a permanent ceasefire and power-sharing agreement between the Taliban and the Afghan government. He said the fundamental tension facing the president, in fact, two presidents, was that no one could satisfactorily explain when or even if those conditions would ever be met. And if we stayed indefinitely, an open war would likely begin with the Taliban again with increased risk of additional casualties. Well, Milley's analysis, the front end, proved accurate when the Taliban overran all of Afghanistan, prompting the Biden administration to hurriedly launch the tragic August evacuation mission. This committee, says Michael McCaul, the chairman, learned that the State Department did not even request an emergency evacuation until after Kabul was surrounded by the Taliban in mid-August. As a result, the international airport was not secured until August 17, 2 days after Kabul fell. As the saying goes, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, and fail they did. The generals told the committee the State Department waited too long to initiate the full-scale non-combatant evacuation operation, NEO, which led to thousands of Afghans flooding Kabul's Hamad Karzai International Airport over the span of 2 weeks. Are you aware the decision to begin at NEO rests with the Department of State, not the Department of Defense? McKenzie said, it's with them. But we could do nothing, nothing to commence the operation, the evacuation, until an NEO was declared. In other words, until Blinken got off his ass and did something. This is what John McCain, man, said he's the most dangerous man imaginable. He'll get people killed, and he has, and he's still doing it. McCaul agreed with the general's assessment, noting disturbing findings that the State Department leadership, that would be Blinken, prohibited its employees from even uttering the word NEO, in other words, an emergency evacuation, until as late as August of 2021. Too little, too late. And there's God knows how many Americans there who are never going to get out, who've probably been slaughtered. The evacuation mission was marred by the deaths of 170 Afghans, 13 U.S. service members at the Kabul Airport's Abbey Gate on August 26, 2021, 4 days before the mission ended. McKenzie said he would take the blame for the tragedy. I was the overall commander, and I alone bear full military responsibility for what happened. No. Biden and Blinken, full responsibility. Sullivan. Since the end of the mission in Afghanistan, Republicans on the committee have pursued answers about how the U.S. military could end a 20-year war in such a haphazard and bloody manner, leaving behind scores, unknown numbers of Americans and Afghans who assisted Western forces over 2 decades. I'll be candid, Milley said. I don't know the exact number of Americans. You heard what he said. I'm not sure even today. Senator Chris Smith inquired about the fate of Afghans who threw in with the U.S. Milley answered, I think some were killed. I think some of the Afghans were tracked down that worked with us, and I think some of them were killed. I'm certain some of them in pretty brutal ways. Some managed to escape through various means. Others have just laid low and are keeping their heads down. Milley said it was a strategic failure. The enemy occupied Kabul. The overthrow of the government occurred, and the military we supported for 2 decades faded away. To date, no Biden officials have been fired or otherwise held accountable for decisions made related to Afghanistan, as Biden and his allies insist the withdrawal was the right course of action. Extraordinary success, quote unquote, they said. And of course, the Democrats on the committee, led by morons like Gregory Meeks, agreed. An extraordinary success. Now, you think about Israel now in the context of what happened here and what they're doing to Israel. Israel, whose back is against the wall. Netanyahu's well aware of this. They're all well aware of it.
Mark Levin.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
You're listening to the best of Mark Levin.
There's simply no rational justification for being a Democrat if you love our country or if you love the state of Israel. There is none. Fundamental transformation is a phrase that Obama stole from Marx, and fundamental transformation means the destruction of that which exists. It means they don't love their country. They don't love their people. If you hate America and you're an American, why would you love Israel? I've told you before. If you hate America, you hate Israel. If you love America, you love Israel. These people are finally being called out, starting by me. And you might recall a few months back, they had the nerve, and everybody was laughing, except them, they're so stupid, to call me an anti-Semite. Remember that, Mr. Producer? CNN, oh, I mangled a word. Oh, oh my God. And then the White House, and then the Huffington Post, then the Daily Beast, and the usual hemorrhoids. That's a hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid. They're hemorrhoids. I call them hemorrhoids. They don't think for themselves. They're part of a mob. And mobs are dangerous things. The Constipated News Network, there's a reason why CNN is literally despised in the state of Israel, as it is in virtually every home in America. There's a reason why nobody in Israel knows who Joe Scarborough is. There's a reason why Joe Biden is now detested in Israel. And the great Chuck Schumer, who Scarborough builds up, is now hated in Israel. These people have been terrorized. They've suffered horrific attacks at the hands of terrorists. And not just once, repeatedly. They've rallied. They're defeating this enemy. Even the enemy didn't think it could be defeated like this. While the Democrat Party is defending Hamas, while the Democrat Party media is using Hamas's statistics, even though they know it's alive, giving them 100 opportunities to fix it, with our professor from the Wharton School, University of Pennsylvania, they won't. New York Times hired a Hitler-supporting photographer, Palestinian. CNN, the others, have done the same over the time period. Independent contractors, they're not fooling anybody. So what Trump is saying is correct. What's upsetting these left-wing Democrats, the Thomas Friedmans, the Danish Bashes, and everything else, is that Trump has the guts to say what is true. Something I've been saying now for weeks, and said on Fox this weekend, and said behind this microphone, and said on The Blaze. The danger comes from within. The destruction of the United States, from the Islamists and the Marxists, the destruction of State of Israel from the Islamists, the Marxists, and the self-haters. And just to remind you, the New York Times covered up the Holocaust. It pushed it to the back pages. The ownership was German-Jewish. I mean, obviously American, but German-Jewish. They got their relatives out of Germany, but they wouldn't report on the Third Reich in any significant or sustained way. They were secular Jews. That is, ethnic Jews, not faithful Jews. In fact, Sulzberger, that Sulzberger in particular, he was embarrassed by the Zionists. He was embarrassed by the Orthodox Jews. He was carrying favor with Franklin Roosevelt, much like Dana Bash, much like Jake Tapper, much like individuals of that ilk, Thomas Friedman. Rather than condemn what this administration is doing, they regurgitate it, celebrate it, and collude with it. And so when Trump calls them out, he's correct. He's correct. So listen to this self-serving Dana Bash, cut four, go.
Let's recognize this comment for what it is, a longstanding anti-Semitic trope that the true allegiance for Jews is to their religion rather than their country.
What does that mean? He didn't talk about allegiance to country. Talk about allegiance to your party. See what I mean? There she is. She slipped up. For the Democrats, like Dana Bash, the country is the Democrat Party. It's not America. There's no trope here. It's not an anti-Semitic trope to say that Jewish people should not be allied with or vote for the Democrat Party. That's not a trope, number one. So she's using party as country. Something I've told you all along is how these leftists think. Jew or non-Jew. Gentile or atheist or agnostic. It doesn't matter. What I'm telling you is, for Democrats, the Democrat Party is the country. The Democrat Party is bigger than the country. So I want to start. I'm the only one that would catch this from her because this is what I study. This is what I read. This is what I tell you. Let's start again. Cut four, go.
Let's recognize this comment for what it is, a longstanding anti-Semitic trope that the true allegiance for Jews is to their religion rather than their country.
See what I mean? See what I mean? Donald Trump never said Jews don't have allegiance to the United States of America. It never came out of his mouth. Never, ever said that. He was talking about the Democrat Party, a significant faction of which hates the Jews, embraces Hamas. That's why the Islamists vote Democrat when they vote. This is a fact, which has nothing to do with Trump. He just sees it, and he says it. So Dana Bash has to twist it like the demagogic, propagandist, left-wing kook that she is. One more time, because nobody catches this but me. Let's underscore it. Cut four, go.
Let's recognize this comment for what it is, a longstanding anti-Semitic trope that the true allegiance for Jews is to their religion rather than their country.
That's not what he said. That's not what he said. That's the poison that came out of your big mouth. And you owe Trump an apology first thing tomorrow. So does CNN. I'm sure the White House will accuse you of being an anti-Semite. I'm accusing you, Dana Bash, of being a self-hater, of promoting Hamas. You had Netanyahu on your program the other day. You wouldn't let him finish his sentence. You were using all of Hamas's talking points, which are almost identical to the Biden administration's talking points. You talk about civilian casualties. You never corrected the number that Hamas puts out there and said, what do you do about that? It was all attack, 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 attack. You're a self-hater. This is the commander-in-chief of the Israeli people fighting terrorist organizations. And your hero Biden is funding the terrorist organizations. So don't lie through your big mouth when Trump did not say what you said he said. He never said that Jews don't have allegiance to America. He said that Jews should not support the Democrat Party. And I agree, as do tens of millions of us, including Jews, including Andrew Stein, the former president, Democrat of the New York City Council. He wrote a piece. Why would you support the Democrat Party if you're Jewish today? When you have a president who's kowtowing to Islamists, the river to the sea crowd. Why would you do that? When you have Jewish facilities being bombed and graffiti of the worst kind, he says nothing, not a word. Why would you support that, Dana Bash? Why would you support that? You create the trope and put it in Trump's mouth. Because you're a clown. And you and your network give more cover to Hamas and the other terrorists than any other network. They quote you guys. They cite you guys. Maybe they'd surrender. Maybe they'd be more easily destroyed. But for the motivation that CNN and their ilk give to these enemies, these terrorists. Go ahead.
It was used in Nazi Germany to justify the arrest.
Nazi Germany. There you know you're dealing with a leftist. Everybody is Hitler who they disagree with. The fundamental transformation crowd. The river to the sea crowd. Then it's time to overthrow Bibi Netanyahu and Israel crowd. It's time to cut off weapons to Israel if they don't bow to Joe Biden and the river to the sea crowd. Oh, yeah. So why attack the Democrat Party? It's like attacking your own country when it comes to brainless Dana Bash. Pathetic. Then CNN brings on Holly Suffer. Who is she? Jewish Democratic Council of America CEO. Oh, this ought to be good. Oh, that's like, oh, that's perfect. That's good. Now let's hear what John Berman has to say. John Berman has the brain capacity of a clogged toilet. All right, cut two, go. Cut five, I mean.
Donald Trump, who is not Jewish, is telling
Wait
Jewish...
Wait a minute, he's not Jewish? Now, you know what's funny about that? Look how they treat you. Is Joe Biden Jewish? Is Joe Biden Jewish? And yet look what he's doing to the Jewish state of Israel. He's destroying it. At a Hanukkah event, my family and I were invited to the White House. I went, I stood way in the back. President sees me, calls me up there. This is the president, the Abraham Accords. This is the president who cut off Iran, had his foot on their throat. This is the president who cut off Hamas. This is the president who put the Houthis on the terrorist list. This is the president who cut off Arafat's PLO. This is the president who ordered his ambassador to veto anything that came up, which was an attack on Israel by all these genocidal regimes. This is the president who has a Jewish son-in-law and daughter and Jewish grandchildren. This is the president who signed the executive order so that Jewish students would have legal protection under the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which is how they're bringing these lawsuits now. And I could go on and on and on. And I went up there and I said something to the effect, Happy Hanukkah to the country's first Jewish president. And Jake Tapper freaked out. Couldn't believe it. How could anybody say that? Easily. Can you name a president who's been better in this regard? Any? And Joe Biden's the worst. And so Dana Bash and Hallie Safer and CNN, they're desperate. So you get really stupid people like John Berman, who brings this woman on and then asks this question. Cut five, go.
How to be Jewish? What issue do you have with that?
All right, stop. What are you, clown pal? Donald Trump didn't tell people how to be Jewish. Dana Bash doesn't even know what it means to be Jewish. Jake Tapper doesn't know what it means to be Jewish. Anthony Blinken doesn't know what it means to be Jewish. They're ethnic Jews. They were born Jews. They're not practicing Jews just because they show up at Reform Synagogue now and then, acknowledge the high holidays, get their grape juice and their sugar cookie, and off they go. That doesn't mean crap. Not a damn thing. I told you before all this, maybe a couple months ago, this conflict within the Jewish community, it exists in all religious communities. I told you that the secular ethnic Jews who go through the motions hate the Orthodox and the religious Jews. Hate them. Hate them. They vote completely differently. So when Donald Trump exposes the Dana Bashes, the Jake Tappers, the Haley Sofers, oh my God, their head's going to explode. Their party is the party of the Islamists. Their party is the party of Biden, who is funding the terrorists in Iran. Their party is the party of the River to the Sea crowd in Dearbornistan and other parts of the United States. Their party is the party with the anti-Semite Jew haters in Congress. That's their party. The same party that supported slavery. The same party that supported segregation. The same party that was behind Jim Crow. The same party that was behind eugenics. Used it against blacks. That party. The Democrat damn party. The most evil party in American history. That's the party. How dare you say that? Trump must be Hitler. Trump is more Jewish than Dana Bash could ever be. Trump is more Jewish than Jake Tapper could ever be. Trump is more Jewish than Dan Abrams and that wig that's glued to his head like a squirrel and that crap operation that he founded, Mediocrite. Trump hating, Netanyahu hating, giving aid and comfort to the enemy, whoever the enemy is, day in and day out. With the miscreants and the prepubescents. Oh, let's get this clip. Oh, did you see what Mark Levin posted? Oh, let's do that too. Boy, what a waste of life. So what did Haley have to say, Mr. Producer? Go.
Thanks, John. Well, what we heard yesterday from Donald Trump was entirely consistent with the message that he has sent the vast majority of American Jews for years. In 2019, he said that any Jew who supports Democrats...
The message that he sent the vast majority of American Jews for years? You disgusting political hack. Have you spoken out against Bernie Sanders? Have you spoken out? Yes? Do you know what your hero, the Speaker of the House, Hakeem Jeffries, used to say about Jews and his good uncle? An out-of-the-closet anti-Semite? Do you understand... The Jewish Democratic Council of America CEO. Do you understand the filth that's in your party? You jerk. And you give them cover? There you are on CNN. Who would have guessed?
Mark Levin. The Great One makes your weekend even better. This is the best of Mark Levin.
So the Democrat Party relies almost exclusively on stereotypes, bigotry, racism, anti-Semitism, turning American against American while claiming to be the saviors of that which they burned down. New York Times, Biden looks to shore up Latino support in visit to Nevada and Arizona. President Biden plans to visit Nevada and Arizona this week, which he just did, at least one of them, to champion his economic policies and attack Republicans on immigration and abortion as he seeks to shore up a crucial but wavering Latino electorate in the two battleground states. Now, they campaign on abortion. Why is it, seriously, when as a proportionate number of the population, abortions in the black community, again, as a proportion of the population of the black community, far exceed that in the white community. So why are Democrats promoting it? Why are Democrats championing that? Could it be the same reason they championed eugenics 100 years earlier? They call it a choice. So it's not a baby, it's a choice. And then they say it's not ubiquitous enough, when in fact, there have been far more abortions since the Dobbs decisions than before. So what's the issue here, effectively? There are no issues, in the sense that people who want to get an abortion can get it, can get it paid for by organizations that receive federal funds and others. If their state bans a particular type or timing of an abortion, they can travel to another state, as people do for all medical procedures, by the way. So I don't know why this one's treated differently. People have cancer, they travel out of state. People have heart disease, sometimes they travel out of state. They're looking for specialists, they're looking for help. There's no massive burden as a result of that. None. So Biden had to look far and wide to find somebody who went into the gallery, wasn't a poor person, wasn't a minority person, was a woman who wanted abortion for, I think, health or medical reasons. She had to travel to another state, and that was the big issue. So she did travel to another state. She got the abortion, and I'm sitting here wondering, okay, that doesn't meet the propaganda that you're spewing. Somebody got an abortion in another state. That's the whole point about federalism. We have a death penalty in some states and not in other states. We have an income tax in most states, but not other states. We have prosecutors who prosecute in some cities and states, and we have prosecutors who coddle and don't prosecute in some cities and states. Mr. Biden will begin his trip to Reno, Nevada, where he plans to promote his economic agenda and denounce former President Trump over abortion rights. You understand he's not running on the truth. He's attacking Trump over abortion rights, so they have their list of hysterics that the demagogue uses, that he's being told to use over and over. They're raising hundreds of millions of dollars to brainwash and scare the crap out of people. And I would ask Latino American citizens, are you better off today than you were under Trump? Is it easier to buy food, to pay utility bills, to acquire even a used vehicle, let alone a new vehicle? Is it easier today to get a job? Seriously, a good paying job? What about inflation? How's that going? Ask yourselves how life is under the Biden regime, not how Biden says it is, because he says it's spectacular, that the American people are just too stupid. They don't understand. They don't accept the fact that Biden is their savior. The trip will seek to turn what polls have shown to be three of Mr. Biden's biggest weaknesses: the economy, immigration, and slipping support among Latinos. Now, I would ask folks in the Latino community, when has Biden even bothered to talk to people in the Latino community. He won't even go to the southern border where the action is, the illegal immigration. Look what's happening to all people there, especially Latinos who are being sold into sex slavery, child slavery, labor slavery, overwhelmingly Hispanic Americans and others. Hispanics coming from other parts of the world, as well as other people coming from all parts of the world. What exactly has Biden done for the Latino community since he breaks us into ethnic groups and religious groups? What exactly has Biden done for the black community? I want to know. What exactly has Biden done for women in this country? What is it? Don't tell me he's protected abortion. You don't have to protect abortion. You get it virtually anywhere in this country. And if it's not at a clinic in your backyard, you cross the border and you go to another clinic. What exactly? Biden is running a campaign on lies, on fear-mongering, just like the senators from the old South 100 years ago. He's a bigot. He's a racist. He's an anti-Semite. He's playing into stereotypes. That's why when Donald Trump called out what Biden was doing to the Jewish people here, not defending them against rabid anti-Semitism, not defending and supporting the only Jewish state in the world in Israel, that's why they jumped all over Trump. Because the truth cannot be let out. The truth cannot be said. It cannot be said. If you're black, you can't challenge Biden. What did he say? What's that guy's name? God, Charlemagne. What is his name? Charlemagne the God. What did he tell him? What's that? You ain't black if you don't vote for Biden. What the hell is that? It's racist. That's what that is. Now, why is he going to help the Latino community for help? Because he's stereotyping them. Americans who are Latino, they want safe communities too. Americans who are Latino do not support open borders. They don't support the drug cartels. They don't support the coyotes enslaving people. They don't support the drugs, the fentanyl going into their communities as well. It's not just a suburban thing. It's a nationwide thing. Something we all now share in every part of the country. Latinos want clean neighborhoods. They don't want people coming across and defecating in the streets. Latinos want good schools. Latinos want clean parks, recreation centers. They don't want people coming across the border illegally. You see, but Joe Biden has a stereotype. And if you're from Peru, if you're from Mexico, if you're from Cuba, Venezuela, if you're from any of these places, I know it's Venezuela, I'm doing Bernie Sanders. You're all the same. That's it. You know, it's interesting. I've talked about this before. In the 1970s, Richard Nixon was looking for a way to create an ethnic group to sort of counterbalance the black population, black groups and civil rights groups and so forth. And so the census created this whole idea of quote unquote Hispanic Americans. Because if you ask somebody from Peru, in Honduras, in Guatemala, Salvador, Nicaragua, they don't view themselves as Hispanic Americans. He's a Nicaraguan. He's a Peruvian, and so forth and so on. So the government created that nomenclature. I'm telling you the truth. And the census used it. It's like African Americans. Arthur Schlesinger Jr. was a big liberal from Harvard. Very close advisor to John Kennedy. Wrote several of his speeches. You know, a real historian, not like this Beschloss clown. He writes in his book, The Disunity of America, or Disuniting America. Great book. He said this idea of African American, for many of black people in this country, has no connection whatsoever. Because every black person in this country, their ancestry is not African. Some of it's Caribbean. Some of it's whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But these nomenclatures are created. They're created. Not for the benefit of the people who fit into the group or the nomenclature, for the benefit of the government, and even more precisely, the Democrat Party. You ain't black, you see, if you don't vote for Biden. Trump says, why would any Jewish person vote for the Democrats? Look what they're doing with Israel. Look what they're doing. They're not defending Jews here. Say Democrats in the Jewish Party, like Schumer, like Dana Bash. Oh, my goodness. That's the disloyalty trope. What? You an idiot? He didn't say you're disloyal to the country. See, they put words in your mouth. They twist things in order to conceal what they're doing. So there's Biden. Where is he going? He's going to Arizona, Nevada. To do what? To scare the crap out of people from Central and South America ancestries and heritages. That's what he's there. He's not going to run on the border. He's not going to run on security in our communities. He's not going to run on prices at grocery stores, utility prices. He's not going to run on any of that because he's destroyed all that. He's going to tell them, do you remember what Trump said in 1974? And, you know, that sort of thing. And so I ask people all across America, white, black, Hispanic, Asian, Indian, whomever you are, wherever you're from, are you going to be played by Joe Biden? Joe Biden's using the tactics of totalitarian autocratic leaders around the world, of totalitarian autocratic bigots from 100 years ago in our own country. Are you going to be played by this guy? You think our country is safer? You know it's not. You think your neighborhoods are cleaner and safer? You know they're not. You know people are coming across the border, Venezuela gangs. If you're Venezuelan, according to Joe Biden, you all think alike and you are alike. No, you're not. MS-13 gangs, they're coming across the border. Nobody cares if they're Hispanic or what their faith is. These are dangerous people.
Mark Levin.
We're giving you nothing but the best of Mark Levin.
The Environmental Protection Agency was created about 1970 by Richard Nixon. That's a little over half a century ago. Its mission is obviously to take steps, it was, to clean up Love Canal, other pollution and toxic sites and so forth. Its mission was never to determine what kind of possessions you could have or what choices you could make about various possessions. And so what happened in a case called Massachusetts versus EPA, this case was brought to the Supreme Court, and Massachusetts said that carbon dioxide is a pollutant or pollutant-like, L-I-K-E, and since the EPA won't regulate it, it means that we folks in Massachusetts, we have to live with the carbon dioxide that is spewed in other states, like New York, as it moves its way up north, up the East Coast, and so forth. It was a preposterous case, quite frankly, utterly preposterous. And yet the court took it up, and it was an effort by Massachusetts and the radicals there to, through the back door, get the EPA to regulate carbon dioxide. It was so important to regulate carbon dioxide, then you could regulate the entire, the entire economy. And so the court ruled 5-4 that the EPA had the power to regulate carbon dioxide, even though the court said carbon dioxide is not a chemical pollutant. It can be viewed as a pollutant-like, that is a pollutant per se. Since that time, they've been pushing this climate change agenda. First, it was obviously global cooling, then global warming, then climate change. So they don't have to be precise whether it's cooling or warming. It just is what it is. And it was an ideology that was concocted in Europe in the 1970s by groups of Marxists who called themselves degrowthers, who wanted to destroy the capitalist industrial heartland, particularly of the West in our country. That's what happened. What happened next, of course, was that you get the Supreme Court ruling. Now we have climate change. So what are the limits on the EPA? If they wrap their agenda in clean air and clean water, what are the limits? There are no limits, apparently. Now you know why they use this court decision to basically regulate everything in your home. And yesterday they issued a regulation. In 8 years' time, it will be virtually impossible to purchase an automobile or a truck that uses the combustion engine. The overwhelming majority of you listening to this program, and others who aren't, own a vehicle that requires you to pull up to a gas station and fill up the car. There are plenty of gas stations wherever you go, all over the country. But Joe Biden, John Kerry, Al Gore, and their ilk and the rest, they've decided that you will not be using your vehicles anymore. And that two-thirds of the vehicle fleet and small truck fleet on our streets must be electric vehicles, whether you like it or not. They are regulating out of existence the kind of vehicle, the kind of small truck that the overwhelming majority of you use and drive and want. They're going to force small businesses, car dealers, to put them in their windows and in their showrooms, whether they like it or not. They're going to force our automobile manufacturers and all the men and women on the assembly lines to manufacture these vehicles, whether they like it or not, whether you like it or not, whether anybody likes it or not. The problems are going to become immense. The electrical grid will collapse. It cannot handle this. There's nothing been done to expand it or to protect it. It's already at its breaking point. Ask the people in California. Ask the people in Texas who suffered. Ask the people in New York. And all they do is blame climate change. If something goes wrong, climate change. So they have their boogeyman. It's not climate change. It's them. These electric charge stations. We spent ourselves in a near bankruptcy with the so-called phony Inflation Reduction Act. They didn't build a single electric charge station, even though they were supposed to build hundreds of thousands of them. And let's say they do. What are they going to hook up to? The electrical grid. It's barely sustainable as it is. And as I've said over and over again, particularly for the more dense parts of our country, populated areas, in our cities, how is this going to work? We have apartment complexes. Just drive through New York and hope you're not carjacked. But just drive through New York, drive through Chicago, drive through any major city in America. You've got skyscrapers, apartments, condominiums. What are you going to do? Where are these charging stations going to be? How many are you going to have on the streets? And to really get a good charge can take up to 35, 40 minutes. What are you going to do? These questions I ask, nobody else asks. So we're just going to automatically move. And here's what they're doing. They're trying to force an industrial policy top down by the government, like fascistic and Marxist and autocratic regimes all over the world, on to the people, whether they like it or not, whether it's affordable or not. And that's how you create poverty. That's how you create economic dislocation. And that is what they are doing. They're stealing your right to make decisions about your private property. They're stealing your right to make decisions about how you will live your life. They're stealing your right to make decisions about how you will spend your money. They're doing to you in a much smaller way what they're doing to Donald Trump. They're seizing your liberty. They're seizing your property. And they're doing it through the back door. They're corrupt. They're corrupt. And they don't believe in democracy. They're doing this through the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, what happens when you literally have millions of vehicles in small trucks plugging in at the same time? What happens? Well, the grid will collapse. So what will the government do, Mr. Producer? It will regulate who can use the charging stations, how long they can use them, what time of the day or which day you can use them. If you have more than one vehicle, whether you can charge more than one vehicle. And all through it, we'll be funding hundreds of billions, some point trillions of dollars to the communist Chinese. Because without the communist Chinese and their control of lithium, cobalt, little African kids in the Congo and elsewhere dying from toxic pollution, working day and night, digging out the cobalt mines for the communist Chinese. What then? Our supply chain reaches directly to Beijing, China. And what about all the other utilities, all the other purposes of electricity? Well, we need electricity for our buildings, don't we? Our homes. We need electricity for basics like hospitals, police stations, fire stations. We need electricity for lights. We need electricity to cook. Electricity is ubiquitous in our lives and in our society. We can thank Tesla. Edison too, but mostly Tesla for electricity. I want you to think about it. The government will reach into your home and not just decide what kind of toaster you can have or light bulb or ceiling fan. That seems kind of Mickey Mouse, right? It's going to have to monitor who uses what, when, to see if you break the regulations, if you go over the limit. You see, all of this will have an enormous economic impact on you, on your jobs, on your lifestyle, on your prosperity, but most of all, your liberty. Because when the government creates pandemics, when the government creates shortages, the government never steps back. The government doesn't say, okay, upon circumspection here, we did the wrong thing, let's reverse course. No, no, no. They're going to take aim at you. You're using too much energy. Your home is too big. Too many cars. You're driving too far. You're washing too many clothes. We told you not to wash clothes at night. Only do dishes every fourth day. In other words, the government then is in charge of what? Controlling the redistribution of electricity, because electricity will be scarcer and scarcer. We need electricity for everything. That's why our dear buddy passed away. Peter Pry used to say, you wipe out the electrical grid. Most people won't be able to survive more than a week or two or three tops. Because everything goes. Refrigeration. Everything. And so what's happening here, listen to me carefully. Don't worry about what the naysayers and the leftists and all the phonies say about what I say. You can hear what I say. We will destroy our electrical grid without the help of the communist Chinese or the Russians or the North Koreans or the Iranians. We will destroy it ourselves. There won't be enough electricity. These cars are not perfected. They could be extremely dangerous, particularly in accidents. We know this from our experience. And when there are accidents and when there are fires, of which there are more typically than there are with combustion engine vehicles, they spew toxic pollution into the air, toxic chemicals. Ask any firefighter, what's more dangerous, a combustion engine vehicle or electric vehicle? They'll tell you. It's also much more difficult to get a person who's stuck in their vehicle, if their car is totaled or something like, to get them out of the vehicle. The jaws of life, it's not so simple. Because the electrical lines and all the rest that are built into the structure of the vehicle. What are we going to do with all these batteries? Millions and millions and millions of toxic batteries. Big batteries. Big. That have a life of about 10 years tops, if you're lucky. Where are we going to put those? Electric vehicles don't protect the environment. Where do you think electricity comes from? Electricity doesn't come from electricity. And try as we might, electricity doesn't come from windmills. Electricity doesn't come from solar panels. Unless you're about 12 people living in the woods, then you can live that way. But we're not. We're an industrial society. So they're destroying our capitalist system. They're destroying our industrial system. They're destroying our freedom, our property rights. With one little regulation coming out of the EPA in Washington, D.C., that you have absolutely no say in, none whatsoever. Does that sound like a constitutional republic to you? And the reason Biden is doing it, and he's doing it, and the reason his people are doing it this way is because they know you would never vote for this. You would never support it. So they're doing it. I just spent 10 or 15 minutes, maybe a little longer, explaining this entire subject to you. Tell me, has this ever been explained to you on television? On any platform? No, it hasn't. And they're not going to. They're just going to tell you this is very, very important for clean air and clean water, and climate change will kill us if we don't do this. No, the Democrats, their agenda, that's what's going to kill us.